been incredible. I mean, when I was at film school, there really was a sense that like you weren't a proper filmmaker if you were making horror film. I personally started out, you know, over the 3 years you're at film school, you kind of start making shorts in your first year. It was like straight drama. And then over time, the horror started to creep in. And initially, it was just kind of low key, bit of psychological tension. And then it's really developed. And yeah, you absolutely see that reflected in the way that audiences have embraced horror so much. And so, yeah, I feel like it's been a gradual thing over the last 10 years, the legitimizing of horror.
The key issue is the physical and psychological damage that people are willing to go through just to achieve a certain beauty standard. What does this mean for you? How do you feel about these issues and the discussion of fat phobia?
I think it's like so key, so central to the film that Hannah as a character so much blames herself and has a sort of experience because has kind of internalized so much fat phobia at the start of the film. And it really takes this journey. And I think for everyone to kind of really interrogate, like, why do we have the biases that we have? Why do we feel a certain thing? And how do we unpack that kind of culture within ourselves? And so in writing the film, I definitely have been, in my recovery, it has been really like crucial to unpack a lot of those ideas and has been very healing. And I guess my hope is that it could maybe open a window or a door or, you know, allow someone to talk to other people about their own issues. That maybe connection plays a key part in our healing.
It has just come at timing-wise at a topical kind of moment. Like I started writing this film when I was doing post on Relic. So that was back in 2018. So it was a really different time. I mean, in terms of the GLP-1 medication being out there. I just think the focus on the drugs, obviously there's a reason why it's so in the cultural zeitgeist. But I feel like blaming the drugs isn't necessarily, it's not the main cause. It's kind of like the cultural norms that we live in as well. So yeah, it's a little reductive, but you know, I understand why that's just the shorthand the cultural shift we're having at the moment of like thinness being seen as the aspirational ideal. I've certainly seen some ghosts, but I know that it's my mind playing tricks some way. And I feel like I believe in the way that our minds can exaggerate and, you know, like create our reality. I absolutely believe in the idea of haunting, whether that emotion or an idea or the sense of like things that you inherit from others, right? They are kind of like ghosts. So in this film, you know, a lot of the thinking that Hannah has been kind of inherited from her parents and with them, they've obviously inherited it from a certain type of culture as well. Yeah, I think for me in writing it, it's been a lot about unpacking those kind of ghosts. I think there's like different levels to it, right? Like there is in the film, there is this idea of the hungry ghost, right? And that people who meet a certain death and certain extreme type of death and are kind of the only thing left of them is this kind of unrelenting drive or force or hunger that can never be sated. And so I think for me, while Hannah's perception of this hungry ghost is kind of warped by her own inner struggles, what was really important as well is reuniting her to the real person that Bertha was as well. So the ghost is kind of just a projection that Hannah has rather than tied to the reality of the film. I think for me, because my intention with the film was to kind of bring an audience into this subjective experience of being in the grips of, you know, body dysmorphia and eating disorder, I felt like it had to have that. I wanted it to be felt physiologically and viscerally. And so body horror felt like the right way to push that. And even in the eating scenes, we are bringing in a bit of like horror language that renders it something that hopefully there is an uncomfortable immediacy to that. That means that the body reacts physically to that.
So you criticize body image repression. There's still this monstrous figure of the fat body. So we still have a body demonized and presented as horror. Would you like to explore this paradox?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think the character is one that goes from self-destruction, but also someone who clearly has some internalized fat phobia. And so I guess what I was trying to get at before is that perhaps, you know, the ghost kind of shifts over the course of the film. It grows larger and more monstrous, but that is all kind of a projection within Hannah's view of the world. And that the reality is that she is a person as well, and a person who is loved. And that's an important distinction that
that it was very necessary to keep, because of course this idea of like a dehumanized large specter is all part of her internal kind of struggle, as opposed to what the film is trying to say.
We certainly had, you know, for both Hannah and Bertha, or Grace,
yeah,
who's the character, we had stages. Yeah. It kind of mirrors, you know, Hannah getting smaller, means Bertha grows larger as well. And we had about four different stages for Bertha, played by two actors as well. And we wanted to, again, lean into the idea that this is a warped kind of projection of something. It's not the real person. And so there is a sense of kind of rot and decay that takes over her body as well. So I tend to start with the prosthetics and then CGI to kind of enhance where needed.
There's like a huge sense of responsibility when you delve into subject matter like that, of course. But I think for me, because it has come from such a personal place. Again, like the reason why I got into filmmaking was that like a period in my life where I felt very alone in my struggles, and film was a kind of connector to other people's lives, other people's experiences, and had the ability to kind of bring something that often sits in secrecy and sometimes in shame, and you know, that people kind of experience singularly. Film has the ability to kind of bring that into the open. And once it's exposed, there can be discussion and connection over it.
Yeah, it was tough. Like it's even in writing it, I think for my recovery, it's been very cathartic, but also like there are pitfalls, you know, that, you know, you are really putting your head into something that can pursue you. There's a lot of, obviously recovery isn't linear, like healing is ongoing, right? Like it's not just like a place that you arrive at. That's the kind of the message. Obviously there's been depictions of eating disorders on film that are done in a much more dramatic kind of, or just through drama. But for me, I think in a way the horror allows you to push the ideas further or to their extremes, right? Which maybe can have an impact. It's just a different way to approach a story. Hopefully you still retain the emotional truth underneath, but it's kind of the wrapper of it is pushed to these often surreal extremes when you're talking about an internal struggle that it can feel like it's closing in on you, that your life is in danger. And for a lot of people, it is life or death. And that's what horror is. I think that, like, you know, you are pushed to life and death, and it's so much about fear and anxiety. One of the things that we try to bring into it is a sense of sensory overload in terms of the kind of body horror. We're using lenses that really put you straight within the body. And it's kind of this inescapable visceral imagery. At the same time, we try to visually as approach lean into this idea of candy and grime. So pulling in like pops of dopamine color, because a lot of it is there's darkness, but there's also the kind of ecstatic thrill of desire, of, you know, all different types of desire as well, but always with this kind of sinister, darker underbelly.
There's this juxtaposition of the parents. We have the physically perfectionist mother and the food addicted father. Is this also based in your personal experience?
Yes, the characters are definitely pushed to the extreme in terms of a much closer relationship with my mother. But growing up, yeah, absolutely. That dynamic you see on screen was reminiscent of my family. And that means that on one hand, you have a very kind of, you kind of inherit those perfectionistic tendencies, but then there is this tension within the house of, I felt comfortable telling this story because this is a moment in time from about like 10, 15 years ago. And so I felt I had enough distance to kind of try and capture what that felt like. But yeah, my dad struggled with a food addiction and had a host of health issues that he ended up really recovering from. And before he passed was in a much better state mentally. Raw, I think, and shame was another big reference. And probably like the creeping dread of It Follows. Those are probably the three main films that is.
I also go to therapy, so it's not, you know, it's not that that's my only outlet, right?
I think you are inevitably drawn to making films about the topics that you care about, right? It's not a surface decision. Like it's very much, for me, my films are often a reflection of the big questions I'm grappling with, and it's a way of processing the world, I think. Not necessarily that is. I do it to fix myself in any way.
Yeah.
Josie is she almost functions as Hannah's foil in a way, as like a larger woman who seems to be comfortable in who she is, who has love. It was all kind of all the things that Hannah is looking for in the wrong places. But when everything goes wrong for Hannah and she is in this kind of downward spiral, I think there is such a redemptive quality to that relationship that it's really the connection she has to Josie that allows her to dig within herself and find that self-compassion. And I think it's true of life that like when it really is
is connection with others and letting other people see you and not suffering alone that can save. It was really important that that was like a really solid kind of pillar in the film.
There's this whole issue of cannibalism that people are literally devouring each other to achieve something. Why that metaphor and what does it mean for you?
Yeah, I think it was always the logic of the picture of Dorian Gray, but instead of this painting or something artistic, like an artistic object, I've really wanted to tie to another person and give it that supernatural link. I guess it felt like, because the film explores desire on a number of levels, and one of them is this kind of consumptive desire, or this desire to possess another person through lust or love for them. It felt right to have a kind of cannibalism component through the ashes as well. And I guess like there's a sense that, again, the human body becomes this kind of commodified product that can be bought. I was really looking for someone, because it's a character who does some very questionable things. I feel like I was looking for someone who has a kind of effortless like authenticity. She is so kind of unfiltered in a way. And so to see her transform into someone who's at first very repressed, and I need someone who can do both, you know, who could go through that full kind of transformation. I had seen her in a couple of things that my friends had made. When we met, we just instantly connected on the themes and everything the film was saying. It was such a rewarding kind of relationship. In looking at some of the other roles, there were definitely people that I had discussions with who were keen to, who very much loved the script, but also felt that it wouldn't be the most like psychologically safe kind of thing for them, which I think is a wonderful thing for them to be able to recognize as well. I also feel like as an audience member, this isn't necessarily the film to watch if you are in the throes of suffering from an eating disorder. So I think there's a lot of care required in the kind of environments that you create when you tell this kind of story. This is an Australian film, so kind of funded by the government, state and national government as well. We have a US partner too, so someone involved in that, and Australian streamer, domestic distributor. Shoot-wise, we definitely tried, because of that we had such heavy prosthetics, we ended up shooting for, I think it was about 7 weeks. So it was actually quite longer than had in the past. In any project, you feel the strain of the budget, but this one particularly felt like there were a lot of little set pieces. The art department and all the departments, the prosthetics department, having so many stages, they went above and beyond in every department to kind of make it work. So I'm very grateful to a lot of the HODs I went to film school with. It was very much a labor of love.
It's also a queer horror film, and queer horror is having its moment right now. Would you like to explore this a little bit?
I think for me, again, like it was important to have a queer relationship at the center of it. It being so much about this kind of aspirational ideal, or Alanya, there's a line in it about whether Hannah wants to be with her or be her, you know? And so it felt important that it was two of them, and to have Midori Francis, who of course is such a like queer icon in her way. She just brought so much to it. I certainly think there is a kind of physicality to some Japanese horror that had its golden heyday back in the 90s and the noughties, that was very much adapted into American or, you know, Western films as well. Japanese horror is often so tied to the kind of the female ghost, the wronged woman as well. No, I think I definitely have kind of a wider interest, and I still am very drawn to genre though, or magical realism. Yeah. Not just a horror director. I certainly have like interest in more grounded sci-fi as well, with everything to push the mark and explore new terrain. Awesome. It is actually it's a TV Apple series about it's a psychological horror, so about a documentary maker who's investigating a doomsday cult, or survivors from a doomsday cult that ended in this massacre, and they claim that, you know, supernatural things were happening and these things start to encroach on her life. I lived in Japan till I was 6 years old and absolutely read so much manga as a kid as well. So, you know, when you're writing, there's so many key images.
First, Hannah is criticized for being too big. Then when she loses weight, she's criticized for being too thin and looking unhealthy.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you like to talk about this condition that women especially can never do it right? You're either too big or too thin.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
this cult of being healthy,
yeah,
but healthy to a degree where it's not healthy anymore at all.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. And I think there is such an insidiousness to diet culture, which I think has kind of rebranded as wellness culture, right? And that often is a grift of some sort. There's a thin line between things that are wellness and things that are just, you know, diet culture dressed up. I mean, I think it's that's it. Like, it
in the film, Hannah feels such a sense of like being kind of attacked or criticized as an individual. But I think it's like a culture that we all live in, right? And we all have these ideas that we need to, diet culture kind of ideas that we need to unpick within ourselves and unpack. Damn if you do, damn if you don't kind of sense to it. But I think dismantling these ideas, like if it's a cultural thing, right? Like if we all agree on what is considered normal, like commenting on women's bodies, like do we accept that or do we not accept that? That's how we shift the culture, I think, you know, through ourselves, but then through how we relate to each other. We definitely made kind of approach them like stunts. So making sure that, because it is such a intense physical kind of actions to eat, even if, you know, you have spit buckets and you're spitting things out, you're still absorbing sugar, which gives you a headache or whatever it is, depending on the scenes. We absolutely did it with, you know, rehearsals into the final take, making sure where the way that we shoot it supports the physical constraints of the actor.